okay? Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Power. I give it to him.
The glory.
I give it to him.
Forever.
I give it to him.
In ever.
I give it to him.
The power.
I give it to him.
The glory.
I give it to him.
Forever.
I give it to him.
In ever.
I give it to him.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is The Bold and the Beautiful. We are here right now. We are getting ready to start our broadcast, and I'm Curtis Austin, and we are now on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. We air every second Saturday of the month at 10 a.m. Won't you just tune in? Welcome to When Christians Talk Radio, Bold and the Beautiful.
If it wasn't for God, I'd be weak. Ay. I wouldn't wake up from my sleep. Ay. I wouldn't have nothing to eat. Ay. I wouldn't be so unique. Ay. If it wasn't for God, I would lose it. Yep. I wouldn't live under a roof, and yep. I wouldn't be up in this booth, and yep. I wouldn't know He is the truth. And if it wasn't for God, I would have been bold. The enemy would have taken my soul. But now I rise up and I surprise them like the day that He rose. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be up in these foreign cars on the way to my shows. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have nada. I wouldn't be cold. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have clothes. No shoes to cover my toes. No hat to cover my head. If it wasn't for God, I would have been. If it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be counted out. My family down and out. I'm blessed, so without a doubt. Hey. Gotta make sure I shout it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Bold and Beautiful is a talk show designed to bring the Word of God to youth and young adults around the world and embolden them to live out loud for Jesus. Our vision is to see young people of the world rising up to take their rightful place as leaders and world changers.
I'm a young girl spitting that gospel. Last time I saw the God, He said, I got you.
Yeah, yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And they try to act like they never knew you. But the devil can't do nothing to you. Cause the
power.
I give it to Him. The glory.
I give it to Him.
Forever.
I give it to Him.
In ever.
I give it to Him.
The power.
I give it to Him.
The glory.
I give it to Him.
Forever.
I give it to Him.
In ever.
I give it to Him.
All right, here we are again with another episode of When Christians Speak Talk Radio, Bold and Beautiful podcast. I am here with my lovely host. You can see the row of people around me, as well as a special guest. We have Ernest, who is here with us. He has been here before. He is not a stranger, but this is a catch up, a renew, a transition. We're trying to figure out what's happening with him now. So we're excited to talk to him today. He does work in finance, and so it is so important for us, and especially as Black and Brown people today, to know about money, to not be afraid to have conversations about money, and that no matter, you know, where you find yourself economically, you can absolutely be investing and be making your money make money. So we are excited to get into this conversation, not just about money, but about life and about what's going on with Brandon today. So if my co-host would say a quick shout out.
Hey there, good to see you guys again.
Welcome back, welcome back.
All right, we're
going
to get into it. Curtis, you want to ask the first question? Y'all had started talking about money, so.
Yeah, so before we jumped into the money thing, so Brandon was with us almost like 2 years ago. You were still just about really just coming, leaving out of, you were in college at the time, right?
Yeah, at the time I was in college, I believe. Yeah, I was a sophomore, if I do remember correctly. Or I was just finishing up my sophomore year, I believe it was.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so walk us down to like just a little bit to like, you don't have to go into in depth, but just how you got into the field that you're in now.
Okay. Well, I tell people the first time I got into like investing in the stock market was, you know, my grandfather had told me about stocks from like a very young age, like 10, 11, 12 years old, things like that. So when I got into middle school, I think it was like seventh grade, we had a home economics class and one portion was about stocks. And they let us, you know, gave us fake money and let us, you know, buy into stocks and things like that. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, and we had like a competition, like a class competition. Mm-hmm. So we got to see and like compete against our friends on what to buy, what, you know, what not to buy, things like that. And it was just real fun. I think I ended up at the end of the year getting like second or third in the competition. And then when I got to high school, it was the same thing my senior year in finance. They had a finance course, which was like a basic finance, but they did the same thing with the fake money, you know, things like that. So I always had an interest for it. Had always been, you know, like telling my granddad to buy certain companies, like even before I was of legal age to invest, I was like, you know, in his ear, like, hey, buy this, like, you know, buy that. And a lot of those things, you know, over time, you know, they do quite well, you know. So that's how I got into it. And just seeing how you can make money is just, you know, always been big to me.
What was the biggest, like, what was the, for instance, like, all right, you see something on the horizon, you know, it might be big. It might not be as big in the public right now, but then when you, what was the first stock that you might say, like, yeah, go get that because I know that's going to do something?
The first one where, like, I recognized it and I knew from the jump, like, when I got into it, that it was going to be big, mm-hmm. was Netflix.
Wow.
So I was in high school. I was like a sophomore. Like I said, I'm like 15, 16. So I didn't even have my own brokerage account yet. But like I'm whispering to my grandfather who was, you know, into investing. And I'm like, hey, I'm seeing these Blockbusters close down. I'm seeing this Netflix thing starting to take off. Need to get into it, you know. And at the time, Netflix was about like $80 a share. So it had already come up a lot. Like for the people that were getting Netflix sent to their house via the little, you know, mail when it was only like a couple dollars a share, that's when it was, you know, really big. But yeah, it was about $80 a share. So he bought like 100 shares of it. And Netflix today is like over $500 a share. Mm. So,
wow, that's
that was it. The first time where like there's been bigger wins or whatever, but where I just knew, like, you can see the cultural shift in America, you know, and just people in general.
Yeah.
And you just follow the money, you know.
See, I'm learning here. That's why, like, so my next question is, like, how do I recognize a trend? I mean, is it basically that I look at, for particular, how basically trends are in the cultural aspect of, you know, our neighborhoods and people, what they're going towards, what they're leaning towards? Or is it something that, like, is it how it might be some type of, not presidential, but, you know, something that go on as far as dealing with, you know, the news or stuff like that, or, you know, what, how do I recognize the trends to know how to shift my money or put it in the right place to be able to make the most profit?
Well, the biggest thing that, you know, I tell people is there's a whole bunch of different trends, right? Like there's people that make a ton of money that just trade based off weather patterns, you know, like, so the biggest thing is just focus on you and what you do. When you start making a change and you start putting your money in different places, the odds are that somebody else is too. So, you know, I tell people all the time, like, when did you get your first iPhone? For the people that have iPhones, you know, like I remember iPhones had a chokehold on the youth because of FaceTime and iMessages. And that was back when I was in like eighth, ninth grade. So around like the time the iPhone 4 came out. And if you look at the stock price of Apple then versus now, if you were to put the exact same money that you paid for the iPhone into actually buying the company that made the product that you wanted so bad, you'd be in a good position. Same thing right now, like what's hot? You know, Netflix is losing share in the marketplace share to things like HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Hot right now. Like now movies aren't even coming to movie theaters, it's going straight to HBO Max. You don't know who owns HBO Max? I mean, who owns HBO?
Who?
AT&T.
Wow. I got some of that.
AT&T is a great stock. I think everybody should have AT&T. They pay like 6.8% dividend per year. So regardless of what the stock does, you're going to get 6.8% on your money.
Now, hold on that point, because I don't want, my co-host probably has a question too, but hold on that point, because I don't want people to miss this, right? Mm-hmm. So explain to them about, for instance, certain stocks, because there's certain companies that you invest in, their companies don't give dividends, they just reinvest their money. So right. Explain to them, explain to our viewers, the difference between companies that reinvest their money and companies that you earn dividends off, so they understand how to really invest to make a profit on their money or increase on their dollar.
Okay, so you have companies like, let's say Tesla, mm-hmm. right? That was a hot one the last couple of years. They're what we would consider kind of like a growth stock because they don't pay a dividend, but they're constantly reinvesting their money. So you see a larger fluctuation in the stock price itself, because that's where you'd make your money from, versus something like AT&T or Delta Airlines, which are dividend stocks, or Coca-Cola, and you know, a whole bunch of examples. So you don't see as much of a fluctuation in stock and share price, but they're paying you a portion of their profit. So you don't even have to necessarily, like when I invest in dividend stocks, I rarely care about what the share price is doing. If it dips enough, I'll buy more, because you're basically buying income. Because, you know, like you say, you're getting 6% every year on your money in AT&T. Delta is, I think, like 4 point something. Coke is 4 something, you know, and like I said, like that stuff adds up over time. So somebody that's young, you know, say like under 30, 10 years, 6.8%, that's 68% return. And then if you've reinvested those dividends, it's a compounding thing. So
before I ask any more questions, any of my co-hosts, y'all gonna say anything? I don't want to keep saying it.
Novena, you got something?
I'm just listening. I like learning all of this, because I know I was taking a class in this, and it's so interesting just to understand the difference between purchasing stock versus trading stock. That's because I was thinking about getting into trading stock, but it's like I still need to learn some more before I put my money out there, because I definitely want my money to make money for me. So, could you share a little bit about the difference between purchasing stock and trading stock?
Yeah. You know, trading, you know, that's like the glorious thing, right? Like everybody likes to look at it like, you made how much, how little, you know, but trading is interesting, man. Like it's like some days I feel like a gladiator, like going out to battle, because that's, you know, really what it is. Like,
did you see the difference in him when he started talking about trading?
And trading, that's the exciting stuff, yes. You know, like it's the investing done correctly is very boring, very, you know, you're just letting your money go to work for you over time. The most valuable thing is time. But with trading, yeah, it can. So like, for example, you know, you have intermediate trading, which can just be like a couple months. You plan on buying something and then selling, you know, like a month or two later. You got day trading, which is, okay, I'm gonna buy something at the bell, sell it before the closing bell. Then you got scalping, which means I'm gonna buy something for a minute and try to sell it, break out technical stuff like that. Oh yeah. No, the scalping is, yeah, the scalping will have you pulling your hair out or shouting for joy, you know, depending on which way it goes. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. What do you want to know about trading? Well, you know, that's what I do full time for a living. So
that's what I think I want to talk to you about on a different level, different.
And so you do this as, you know, as a business. So like, if someone were coming to you, mm-hmm. what kind of service, like what kind of service do you provide? Like, can someone come to you and say, you know, I have $100 or $500, what can you do with it? Or like, what is your business set up to do for people, I guess, at different price brackets, or
right,
depending
gotcha.
Upon where people are financially?
Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing for me right now is just about educating people. Because like I said, I'm not a financial advisor. I don't have like a Series 7 or anything. So my thing is just with my business aspect is just building a community of traders to help teach people what to do with their money. You know, like let them give them the information and let them make an informed, educated decision on what to do. You know, so for example, like I have like a little group chat that I have with some friends and people that are interested in it. You know, just to like, it was like a little beta, like test group type thing. And really it's just about, you know, I tell them, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing X, Y, you know, and depending on your risk tolerance or, you know, what you want to achieve, you can either follow suit or just, you know, bounce plays off me, tell me what I think, you know, things like that. And the biggest thing is really like, I thought I was going to do it for more so like day trading. But what I'm finding is I have to remember people have like regular jobs, you know, like 9 to 5s. So it's really been more so what I've been more successful with is more like intermediate trading, like, okay, put this play in, come check on it next month, you know, and you just see how that trade goes for you. And you'll be, and I'll let you know if you need to go in early and sell it, or, you know, or what I would do, you know, and let you make that decision for yourself, really. So that's going to be the biggest thing. So it's going to be like, I'm going to have a group chat, a Discord. Y'all familiar with Discord?
I've heard the word, but I have no idea.
I've been a part of Discord. This.
So much you can do with Discord. So fancy. And I just been playing around with different features and stuff. So it's going to be that. And, you know, people can pay to basically
Calling me dumb, but is it an app or something?
Yeah, they have an app, but it's like, you know, a website too. But, you know, you mostly use it on the app and, like Telegram, you heard of Telegram?
Okay, yeah,
Telegram.
I
yeah.
Know that
yeah. Yeah. That was a big usage of when the flowers were around, but listen. So, with that being said, right? Now that you're, you know, doing trading and things of that nature, you know, if a person come to you and say, well, because what you talked about was, like, for instance, the stock itself gained like 6.8% a year on your money, right? Which is good, the dividends, as opposed to you having it in a bank account at that point. But still, explain to you know, our listeners and our viewers about the compound interest, also with the rule of 72.
Yeah. So the biggest thing with, like, just compounding interest, and one of the things that I try to use to help explain it to people, because they have a nice graph on it, is, you guys ever heard of, like, the Acorns app?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes.
So they have this nice interactive graph, and it just shows, like, you know, if you invest your spare change, how over time, how much it would be hypothetically if it just got a 6% return, which the things they're invested in, you know, over the last 40 years have gotten closer to like a 10% return. So, you know, when people can actually visualize it and see, like, okay, if I contribute $50 a week for the next 20 years, plus rounding up my spare change, I'll have X amount of dollars. It helps them, you know, get into that investor mindset of, you know what, I want to put my money to work for me, you know? So like you said, you're talking about the rule of 72, which is just the rule of how long it would take your investment to double. So if you earn 10% on something, and you know, 10%, it'll take 10 years for that thing to double if the you know, didn't move at all, if you were just earning the interest on it. Because, you know, 10 times 10, 100%, so would, you know, double up. So yeah, just like I said, and the thing that I like about Acorns also is they have partners with different groups that when you shop with them, they'll actually invest money into you. So, like, for example, Nike, I go on Acorns and I go to Nike and I buy something, they'll invest 5% of my order into my Acorns account.
Oh, see.
Now,
see
that 5%.
Come on now, give it to us.
Yeah, okay.
I got the app, but I don't know how to use it.
I'm telling you, go in there and it's called Found Money. Like, they'll literally just find money for you. Because again, if it helps that person, you know, that company get a sale, it's worth them to invest 5%. It's no different than getting 5% off, right? But yeah, instead of getting 5% off, you get 5% added to your Acorns account, and then that money works for you. So eventually, 10, 15 years, that 5% just paid for your order. You know, but, you know, people don't like to see the long-term you know,
right,
effect of things like that. But for me, like, I'm 24. So if I can order clothes in my 20s from Nike, and then in my 40s, it's paid for because of the little, you know, percentage they kicked it back. It was just worth it to me. Even Expedia has a partnership with them. When I travel, go on Expedia, get my flight, get 4% back.
Oh,
not a bad gig.
It's all about perspective, you know? And risk tolerance is another word I heard you say. And that is so critical, because scared money, I understand, doesn't get you too much. But then how much are you willing to risk? Because there is some risk in just putting your money out there. You have to know how much you can tolerate.
Yeah, that's a huge part. All of it, when it comes to making money day trading, it all has to do with risk management. So like before I take a trade, I know, okay, if this is the target price, this is where I'm going to cut it at, my stop loss. Then I know that I need, if it hits the target price one out of five times, it gives me this odds versus if it goes, like the trade has to be profitable before it's profitable.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that way,
yeah,
if you have the right risk reward ratio in all your trades, you can only make 40% of your trades be profitable. But if the risk reward is there, then you're still profitable.
Well, so let me ask you this. Sorry. Go ahead. No, finish your statement.
I'm just saying, like, it's not even about making money on every trade. It's just about sticking to the program and having that proper risk reward ratio.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. So, how do you gauge, you know, your take profit as and your stop loss? How do you gauge that window to hold it in when it comes to different trades?
Technical analysis.
All right. So basically, you do market analysis, and your market analysis is based off the information you see from what people are driving, what people are buying.
If it's a news play, it would be that, right?
Uh-huh.
But with the technical side of it, strictly based off the chart.
Okay.
You know, because when you're reading a chart, you know, the biggest thing is just understanding that the chart is telling you what other people are seeing. And you have to react based on what they're seeing.
Okay.
Because we're the small fish in this, right?
A couple
hundred or a couple $1,000 we're throwing in isn't going to move the market. But when you understand that, okay, 90% or so of the big money is actually computers, what are the AI looking at that are going to make the trades? And you just kind of follow, you know, you take the crumbs and you keep it moving, you know? Okay. So that's
good. You look at stuff like head and shoulders.
Head and shoulders, you know, your that's basic. Like-
Yeah.
Bull flags, pendant square, you know, all that stuff, you know, from patterns to candlestick patterns, all that stuff plays a factor.
Definitely. So let me ask you this, because a lot of people, man, I've been seeing people also been moving the basically T-bots, right? When it comes, basically, so they read the web 24 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
They read the market 24 hours. And they're using it, the algorithms, to predict what's coming.
Okay. So that's a Forex thing, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, 24 hours. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. So how do you, because basically, I mean, I guess if it can be used on the Forex market, it could probably be used in a regular market too as well.
Yeah, the stock market. There's things like that, you know, like I have alerts that come to my phone, you know, where just news alerts, you know, like constantly, because plays a major factor, you know, in everything. Like you could have a trade, you could look at the chart be excellent, and then some news come out and it just ruins the entire trade, you know. So yeah, there's things like that for sure, where they analyze different things and, you know, they tell you what they think is going to happen.
I found that most people though, that's really traders, they rather go off themselves than the algorithm of a bot telling you that this is going to happen because the algorithms are moving this way.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, cause at the end of the day, live by the sword, die by the sword. You know, if you want, that's not what you want. You know, you don't want to take a sizable position on something based on AI and then it goes south and then you're just sitting there upset at a computer. Like, no, I'd rather I'd rather take it in myself.
That's it. So, Brandon, you know, how does one get their toes wet? How does one start getting into the market? You know, because it's one thing to not have money and want to, you know, can do stuff. But either way, whether you have money or not, what's the best way to even get started?
Man, nowadays with technology, not having money is almost not an excuse.
Right,
because you can buy fractional shares. There's a there's a company I like, brokerage is called M1. You start with as little, I think, like $5 or something like that, and you can buy into Apple or Tesla, all these fancy companies you want, with $5, you know, and it'll literally break it up fractionally to where you get a piece, you know. So not having money, you know, is not as an excuse as it used to be, right? Like where you used to, you need these huge minimums to get a brokerage account, or, you know, where it used to be like, even when I first started, it used to be $8 to execute a trade per trade. So when I was day trading, you start off in the hole $8, you know, and when you don't have much, it's like $8. Whoo, you
know, then Robin Hood came along.
You know, but yeah, feet wet. I tell people the best thing to do, you know, everybody wants to jump in and start like day trading, or they want to jump in with options and stuff like that. And, you know, we can talk about that some too. But really just focus on buying companies that you use. You know, I tell people, you know, most people have their retirement and things like that, but set aside some money to play with companies that are around your house that you put money into. You know, like if you drive a Ford, buy some Ford. They pay a nice dividend. You know, you pay a phone bill, buy your phone provider, you know, things like that. Because if you believe in them enough to give them your hard-earned money,
come on,
then you should have enough faith to buy a part of the company. And that's what you're doing when you're buying stock. So
that's
the biggest thing. And then you get to watch it. You see how it moves. You see how news affects it. And if you decide you wanted to take it another step and get more active, you can do that as well, you know. But the biggest thing is just definitely starting with, you know, companies that you use.
Like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you like is the biggest thing, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So what about options? Tell us about options too.
Well, options, that was a life changer for me when I discovered this little thing called options back in like, I discovered it back in like 2018, 2017, but they're so complicated that I didn't want to mess with it, right? Because I didn't understand what made it move exactly. There's Greeks along with it. There's a lot to it. Like the actual calculations is actually calculus. So like if you actually tried to like break it down and see how things actually move, it's straight up calculus. Okay. So I didn't touch them for like a couple years, you know? But then, you know, scared money don't make money. So 2019, 2020, I started diving in with them. And an option is basically a contract that gives you the right to buy or sell the underlying asset, which would be the stock that you're, you know, buying or selling. So like say Apple, you buy one option contract and that gives you the right to buy Apple at the strike price, which is in the contract of 100 shares. So each contract is 100 shares worth of said contract and of said asset, which would be the stock. So in the contract, what you have is you have the strike price, which is how much you could buy or sell it for. You have the expiration date, which is what makes things tricky because you have a thing called time decay. As it gets closer to the expiration, the price of the contract moves more as it's closer to the expiration. Mm-hmm. So I went, time, you have the expiration date, your strike price, and then you have your Greeks, which are like your delta, your theta, your things like that, which explain how the price moves relative to the stock price. So you want to, I use those in day trading weeklies. So they expire every Friday. So you can buy a contract for say Apple, you could buy one for next year. You could buy one for this Friday. You could buy one for next Friday, the Friday after. And then the cost of it, you know, the further out of the money they are, the cheaper they are, but the more likely they're going to expire worthless because it's further out of the money. So they're actually designed for you to technically lose, right? Because you're fighting time decay. You don't know what's going to happen. But if you play it correctly, you can make a lot of money, you know, like, I've made 1,000% overnight. You know, I've woken up to.
Man, I'm stopped calling you.
That's when that GameStop.
Billy Ray. I'm going to call you Billy Ray. You know Billy Ray, right? He was on Trading Places, Eddie Murphy. Billy Ray Valentine, man. Yeah, right. You know, you had the pump options. You got there. You knew what was going on. You and Winthorpe, man. Yes, sir. Y'all don't know about the Trading Places, man.
I remember.
That's a good one.
Billy Ray Valentine, my man. Ernest, man. Billy Ray Valentine. You look. How you living, Billy Ray? Excellent. You on
classic.
Yes,
But yeah, you know, it's a beautiful thing when it's done right. You know, I tell people when you're starting off with options, try to get some cheaper, longer expiration options. like I said, that month to 2 months out can be a nice sweet spot. Can easily get, 100% on a trade relatively like clockwork, if you're trading breakouts and things like that. But yeah, it can be lucrative. I've had my wins and my losses for sure, but you definitely just want to that risk management, like only risk 2-3% of my portfolio a trade, which is quite a lot technically, like you have some people that say only risk 1% or a fraction of a percent, especially with options, because things can go left very quickly. But yeah, if you got the time and the energy to learn about it, it's definitely lucrative for sure.
Well, I think I will be calling you, sir. Yes, I think I will. You know what I'm saying? I need to win 5 times before I lose one, but I think I need to call you. definitely, man. I'm just really impressed, man, your wealth of knowledge, man, and how you have really I could just say I could see that you really, breathe this thing, man. Mm-hmm. Breathe this thing. That's a powerful thing, man, especially, yes, man, for people of color too, because like we don't always understand like the inner workings of the market and things of that nature. We don't go in that direct a lot. Well, I'm not saying a lot of people, most people that, are in our inner cities and stuff don't take time to really think about that. Like you said, they might go buy a pair of Louis and not buy the stock. You know what I'm saying? You spend all that money on the
actually
Louis.
Isn't a bad stock, actually.
And see that out of my man Billy Ray Valentine's mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He go like Ernest putting it down for you. Ernest putting it down. So he 24 years old. So I'm seeing a 24 year old right now, who actually, and he probably didn't have disclosure, but I'm just looking at a 24 year old now that, and probably in about the time he's my age, which is 25, that he gonna be. But he might be a millionaire, and he probably gonna be a millionaire real quick.
Mm-hmm. Real quick.
So yeah. So I'm just saying that education, because that's the one factor that he did put out there first. When Novena asked him about stocks and things of that nature, how you get involved, he said my biggest thing is education. Mm-hmm. Education, educating the masses about the steps to take to become financially free. And I think we can all become that financially free, because the truth of the matter is, man, listen, it's out there. You got options.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's, but yeah, I think the biggest thing, like, with options, like, Sister Novena bought up GameStop, right? And I remember when that whole GameStop fiasco happened, I'm sitting there watching it. And obviously, I'm in the markets every day. So I saw it early, like $20-something. A pop, and I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, I can't justify this, right? Like, I can't justify it, so I can't put my money behind it. So I sat there and watched it go to $400 a share. And I'm like, dang, I don't got no money in this. But one thing I do know is what goes up must come down.
That's right.
So when it broke like 350 a share, I bought a put, which is basically the right to sell something at a certain price, so you make money as it goes down. And that's what a lot of people don't understand is, like, in the market, whether it's up or down, when you're an option trader, all you need is volatility. I can make money either way. I just need it to be volatile. I just need it to move. So yeah, it broke like 350 and I bought a $100 put on it, and I ended up selling it when it dropped all the way to $40. And that was like a 300-something% move.
Mm-hmm. So, but I, you got to know that. That's the thing. That's when I start getting a little scared. I said, that's when I just stopped everything, because I was like, this is not making sense to me. So I said, I'm just going to jump in at another time.
Yeah, my favorite play, though, and out that whole fiasco was AMC.
Oh, yeah. The movie
AMC was a great move, because it was down to like $2 and something. And when it was, the same thing was happening. It was being pumped by the Reddit users and a short squeeze and things of that nature. And they were basically, the short sellers were basically trying to short it to death, meaning like they were going to short it until AMC had to file bankruptcy and go out of business, which is what they did to Blockbuster. Blockbuster was a huge, corporation. They had money. They could have turned into something else. But when the short sellers saw that, oh, this is dying off, they shorted them into oblivion. That's basically what happened. So, but the reason I liked AMC though is because when that stock started going up, it could hold those valuations previously. You know, they, yes, it's COVID right now. Nobody's going to the movies.
Yeah.
But they still have storefronts. They still have real estate. You know, they still have all those businesses out there. So that to me means it's worth more than $2 a share. So when it got to like $4, I put in, I bought a couple thousand shares, and then I sold at like 16. Like, it was a great move. It was a lot of money. It was great.
Mm-hmm. But you got to constantly watch it and know what you're watching for. Then the vocabulary. Did you hear all these different words, Jordana?
I know none of them. He is I'm going to just sit here and smile because I don't know.
He said, I bought a put. Put what?
Put calls. I was learning about the puts and the calls. Yeah.
But that's what's up, because I'm learning stuff too. Like, as we talking, like, this is, it's been very educational. But one of the things that, you know, because I know that you'll believe in, one of the things that I wanted to ask you too is that in light of, you know, your position and how you are in the market and what you do, do you see God like moving you in, or giving you like kind of like the spirit sometimes giving you a push, like, look over there, look at this. You know what I'm saying?
This is the path I'm putting you on.
Abraham, the ram is over there. You
to me it's more so like a not look over here thing, but more so like the inner peace thing.
Yeah.
Because with trading, it's about 80% psychology, you know. Psyche, and about 20% of what you know. Because the thing is, and it's just being able to have that, what I like to call that, you know, that ice in your veins, you know, that I'm not going to panic, I'm not going to freak out, I know what I saw, I'm gonna let it do what, you know. And to me, that's where like God comes into place, like just trusting yourself, you know, like knowing that God gave me this talent, God gave me my intelligence, and to trust in me and trust in God, you know. So that's where, you know, for me, the Lord really comes in, where it's just like, you know, if it's not meant to be this trade, it's not meant to be. But, you know, you look at it like any other business. You know, if I take a loss, if I was running a restaurant, I'd have to buy food or I'd have other expenses. So when I take a loss, it's like, okay, don't let me get beat down on this. It's just a business expense, right. You know, and just get it back together and reroute, you know, that's all you can do.
So if people want to connect with you or to get advice, how would they contact you?
You guys can follow me on my Instagram. I have a business Instagram and I have a personal Instagram. Follow me on either.
Did you say you don't know either? What did you say?
No, I said you can follow me on either.
Oh. What's your Instagram?
My Instagram, my personal one is __ tuna with 3 A's.
It's a tuna with 3 A's.
Yeah, football nickname. They used to call me Big Tuna back in the day. It stuck, and it's been that forever. So that's just TUNAAA. And then the business Instagram is Young, my last name, YOUNG, _investments_.
Is that the name of your business?
Yep, Young Investments. You know, just trying to spread the word about really just investing, you know, like the trading is nice. But I tell people all the time, like when I trade, I pretty much pay myself a pretty modest salary. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of my profits are just right back to investing, you know? So that's the biggest thing. Like I was fortunate in January, I made enough money to pay my yearly salary. So everything from then on is just, you know, going right into the investment account.
Well, that is a extreme blessing. So let me say this, right, to all my youth that, of course, that I show is trying to encourage the youth to live and love out loud for Jesus, right? So this is a young man, 24 years old, that made a decision about what route he should take, which was in financial literacy, understanding and trading. And this man just now said that in 1 month, he made a year's salary, paid himself a year's salary. So everything else that he makes after that is just pure investment profit. So what I'm saying is that, you know, this is a whole nother hustle. you don't have to be in the streets. You don't have to be selling drugs. You don't have to think that they got to get the quick come up, because it ain't a quick come up in the legal system. He just told you it's a legal come up in the legal system, as long as you educate yourself and make the choice to do it the right way. And he has done it. He is living proof that it's possible to do that. Man, my man, Ernest right here. Ernest
legal
Young.
Lit.
Love it.
Legal lit.
Big tuna. Big tuna, y'all.
What is that saying about your the sense about it making money? What is that saying that your grandfather told you?
Oh no, every cent gotta work. You know,
every cent gotta work.
Every cent, you know. I don't care if it's like, for instance, we talked about the Acorns thing, right? Where you know they have partners. Postmates is one of their partners. You know, I be ordering food. You know, I like to eat. they pay me 25 cents. For every order I make. So to give you an example, like I have my Acorns that I'm aggressive and it's invested in some international things. But the biggest thing it's invested in is the VU, which is, you know, overall market type thing, right? Where it's just the whole umbrella of the market. And like the S&P 500, you guys heard of S&P 500, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a pretty common term. In 1980, around when it was almost funded, you know, I think it's up, this is just off the top of my head, so don't quote me of it, but I think it's up like 9,000%. So that's what, 30, but that's 40 years ago now. So I'm looking at it like this: if the market continues to do what history has shown it to do, $1 in 40 years might be $10,000, you know? So every dollar, every cent has to work. And one thing my grandfather used to tell me, you know, walking around in the streets, you know, you see a penny, another penny closer to a million, you know. Yeah. So that's just,
it's all about perspective too. And that's the way you've been grown, you've been groomed, you know. You have a good understanding about money. A lot of people, they have scared money or have a poverty mindset.
Yeah,
you know? So it's I was definitely lucky, you know, like blessed for sure, you know, like, because my understanding of money started from a very young age, you know. And, you know, I've taken that and built upon it and, you know, done my own thing with it. But definitely those fundamental roots were instilled from very young.
Mm-hmm. You know? And it's paying off now. Because even with that example you gave about the $1, mm-hmm. you said even if history is any indication, that $1 can be $10,000.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Before I'm 60 years old, you know, and it's just a perspective, a mindset that this quarter is going to really add up into something, you know. That's another quarter closer to a million.
Yep.
So
go ahead.
One other question. Okay, so if someone came to Young Investments, mm-hmm. What is it that you can offer them?
So right now, first and foremost, it's just going to be, I'm trying to build a wealth building community, right? Where other like-minded people can come together, bounce trading ideas off each other, but not just trading. I'm trying to build it to be just about building wealth altogether. Like, I'm gonna have my homegirl in there. She has a credit repair business, you know, like the whole spectrum. I'm trying to cover everything, you know, just so people can understand how money works, network with other people. You know, a lot of young people too, that's out here in different fields getting it, you know, whether it's from government contracting to trucking to all different things, where it's just going to be like a network hub. And the biggest thing is when it comes to like the trading, it's going to be a lot of educational videos and things like that, to where if you do it right, and like I trade under my LLC, right? So when I buy courses or things like that, which is another thing I'm going to work on after I develop the community, for, you know, obviously for the community, it's a tax write-off because it's education towards, you know, my business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the most biggest beneficial thing to it, because if I help you make money and then the little money that you'd be paying me, say something like $50 a month, is written off on your taxes against your winnings, it's a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. And that's really what I'm all about. I'm just about win-wins, you know, and
I love it.
Yeah, trying to help people elevate. That's the biggest thing.
And this is something I can see even going into the school systems, and we need to educate the young people. I mean, even younger than you. You said 11 years old, you were understanding about the ebbs and flows of the market. You understood what a market was. It wasn't just going to the store, the market.
Yeah, and you know, people say all the time, you know, they talk about the school system and, you know, the school system's broken and this and that. The truth of the matter is it's working exactly the way it's designed to do.
Design.
You know, like, so you can't depend on the school system, because at the end of the day, they're accomplishing their goal. Their goal is to produce more workers. You know, if you really understood how money worked, now given being an entrepreneur isn't for everybody, trading, day trading isn't for everybody, but their goal is to produce workers, you know, like, they push, you know, go to college, go to school, get a good job, you know, things like that. That's all fine and dandy. But, you know, they don't really want you to understand how things work, because they want you to be in debt. They want you to.
Come on, ma'am. Just like the hospital.
But no, seriously, though, like the system is designed to really kind of keep you in debt. You know,
they,
like,
they need a certain class of people who are worker bees who.
It's needed. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's why I don't say it's broken.
I started as a worker bee, and that got me going. But then it's like, I don't want to be the worker bee.
And even if you can be a worker bee, but still invest in a system that can make you passive income, right? Yeah. It's not necessarily a bad thing to get a job or to get a career, but we're saying that you should also be financially literate. You should also know that there is a system and that you can participate in that system at whatever income level you are.
Exactly.
It is for you at whatever income level you find yourself. Yes. Whether you are working at McDonald's, or you're a manager at a restaurant, or you're a government worker, or you're working, you're a contractor, or you're in construction, in any field that you're in, you can participate in this market.
Absolutely.
In this financial market.
You can participate. And I love how Ernest explained it. As far as, you know, whether it's a $5 investment that's divided up in many ways, whether it's a contract that you pay $100 a WAP and it's still divided, or you go out and purchase shares of stock. So it's a lot out there. Then the risk tolerance, everybody's level of risk tolerance is not the same. I could be earning $100,000 a year and I don't want to lose a dime, and somebody may be working, you know, and then somebody may be earning $50,000 and like, let it roll, you know? Yeah. But it's room out there for everybody.
Yeah. And this has inspired me, because I definitely want to. And it's not even that I'm scared as much as it is, I might be like slightly lazy and I just want somebody else to do it. Like, if someone tells me and I could say, this is the level I'm comfortable at, I am okay with getting the basic knowledge and say, okay, I'm gonna do this. But I'm not gonna be your day trader. I'm not gonna be looking at my computer like, what is the market doing? I'm not gonna be getting alerts to my phone. And so I think that's also something that we should be spreading, that you don't have to get a PhD in the market again to participate in it. Because if you're like me and numbers scare you and math used to make you cry, that's okay. You too can participate in this system.
But you gotta have some type of, I have to have a level of trust, because I just have to have somebody I can trust with.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you hear about these different schemes and scandals and stuff. It's like, I need to educate myself. Just like Brandon is saying, I need to educate myself.
Yeah,
definitely. For those, like, so just like Ernest was saying, when it comes to financial advisors too, it's a particular site that you can go on that actually shows you the track record of the financial advisor. You can see if they have any blips in their whole record, the companies they work for, and their whole history. And that's one of the things that my financial advisor does. He educates you like that, and then he also shows you his record, but he also shows you where to go if you choose to not use him, where to go in case you want to go with somebody else to be able to check their track record, because you want to safeguard, because he feels as though that his job, you know, that God has blessed him with, his purpose is to also help educate the people and also to ensure that we become financially free. So definitely, man, this is like been an awesome, awesome show. I'm gonna call this man. So absolutely. I want you to know
that, Luigi,
yeah. If you don't know who he is on Instagram, _ Tuna 3 A's. You feel me? That's when you can leave. Oh, you can find him at Young Earnest, right?
Yeah, Young_Investment. Yeah.
Young_Investment, right?
We'll put that in the link
underscore.
In the show.
It's another underscore.
Either in the bottom or up top. You'll see the link. We'll put the information when we post it.
Phone number. His business phone number too.
They can look. I'm an open book. People can call me. My phone number 240-300-6839. You can this stuff is fun to me, right? Like I'll talk. Yeah, like I'll talk investments or I'll talk trading with you. You can see on my page, I'll just post little funny memes and little inspirational quotes until, you know, we get the website and stuff up and running. But that should be out within hopefully beginning of next month. We want to start the summer off strong. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, it's just, yeah, you know, we can talk some figures too.
All right. I'm looking
get on the Earnest train, the money train.
Well, this has been an awesome show. Again, Earnest, thank you for being with us. This has been a pleasure. I feel smarter already.
Me too.
Does anybody have any final thoughts before we sign off?
Man, I just been blessed. That's all. I just been blessed.
Me too.
Yeah. So again, thank you guys for listening in, tuning in with us in Earnest. Another Wayne Christian Speak Talk Radio, Bold and Beautiful. Again, we will put Earnest's contact information so that you can connect with him. And let's get on this train together because we can all do it. So it's been real. Bye.
See y'all later. All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye, everybody.
All right now.
Thanks for tuning in to our broadcast. We look forward to introducing young talent and sharing exciting stories with our listeners around the world. So if you have a gift, talent, story, or information to share with us, spoken word, poetry, book, or song to share, if you're an entrepreneur or musician, please contact us at bnbwcstr2016@gmail.com or on any of our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.